ICS Magazine presents the Hitman Advertising Show, Episode 20, How to Get Commercial Cleaning Accounts. Right now, we're heading into the winter season, and anytime we're going into a slower season, it's a great time to think about staying busy. Commercial accounts is one great way that you can actually keep your cleaning business busy throughout the winter season. So a few weeks ago, I asked thousands of cleaners all over the world what their most pressing questions were about how to get commercial cleaning accounts. And then I held a webinar where I answered all those questions. So let's go now to that webinar replay for this edition of the Hitman Advertising Show. First, I just want to go ahead and ask, who has experience with going after regular commercial work and who actually has done regular commercial work, like on a contract, weekly, monthly? Really, when I'm talking about commercial, I'm talking about monthly. David Hebert, obviously he has. We're going to be hearing from David probably next week, I think, is when we have him scheduled. Anybody else done really, really good with commercial and just had some really good success? Dale and Aaron, good. All right, perfectly. In my cleaning company, we sure have. And we're going to be talking a little bit and telling you about some of the things that I'm doing. Blake McCormick as well, awesome. So I know a lot of you already know me. But here's just a little bit about me, just in case a few of you don't know exactly. Sometimes I talk to even some of my clients, and they don't know that I actually still own a cleaning company. But I actually own a cleaning company in Pensacola, Florida, where we do mostly residential, but we do a fair amount of commercial as well. And for some of the benefits I'm going to be talking about in just a few minutes, but I started my carpet cleaning company when I was a senior in college majoring in advertising. I basically wanted to start a business and find out what worked and what didn't work and practice advertising. And then one day I eventually started Hitman Advertising, where I decided to just mostly cater to cleaning companies because I like the industry and that's sort of what I know and what I do. I also do write regularly on the subjects of advertising, internet, and marketing for ICS Cleaning Specialist Magazine. You've probably seen some of my articles there. So first, let's start with two main things about commercial marketing. And the two things that are just critical to understand from the beginning. One, when you do commercial, when you go after getting commercial, you're going to be doing this for probably one of the foremost reasons is going to be the fact that it brings in regular, dependable sales that comes into your business without you even needing to think about it, especially when it's on a weekly contract. We do regular work for a Cheddar's, actually currently right now, where it's every other week. Very nice size job. We actually do two of them. And it's a very, very sweet, very profitable gig. We also do work for a big industrial facility that we do every single week. We do tile cleaning for them every single week. We also work for all the tax collectors in town. All of this stuff is very dependable income because we're cleaning for these people regularly, in some cases every week, in some cases every other week. But it's really nice to start out the entire schedule for the week and already have a few jobs, big jobs, on the schedule without even thinking about it, without even having to do any marketing. So that's one of the foremost huge benefits of doing commercial. The other thing that's kind of neat is it keeps your employees busy. I don't have to always find things for them to do on Monday afternoon because we always have the big industrial tile cleaning job that we always do. I don't have to find work for them on Tuesday or Thursday evening, whichever evening that they do the Cheddar's facility, because it's already something that they've already got scheduled to be able to do. So it keeps employees busy. Now, keep in mind, number one is a lot bigger benefit than number two. Can some of you guess why? Is it always a good idea to just keep your employees busy? It is if you want to keep your employees, so that is a big benefit. But if they're just busy and that's it, exactly, Steve. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily making money, okay? So we're not just trying to do commercial for the sake of only keeping our employees busy, although it is a secondary benefit. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about what I always like to think about when I'm teaching or even thinking about doing this type of stuff is, what do I need to avoid? What are some of the pitfalls that I need to avoid? What are some of the problems? And here's three very common issues that you want to avoid with commercial. One, And this is some of the stuff that we're going to get to when we go over all the questions. This is some of the stuff that really comes up all the time. One of the big things that you want to avoid your clients, your commercial prospects, your commercial clients saying or doing or feeling like is the I want it today syndrome. You know, you need to come out tonight to clean my carpet. You need to come out today. I know it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but I really need it today. And now keep in mind, I'll be honest with you, all three of these things aren't completely avoidable. In fact, out of all three of them, this is the one that I'll actually bend over backwards for to do the most if it's a good client. Now, if it's not a good client, I'll fire them over this if they're repeatedly trying to get me to come out today, if they're not a great client. But we've done work before for attorneys that sometimes would need it done that day. And sometimes that's just what you got to do. If they've got special people coming in, sometimes they really need work done that day. But make sure that they're good clients if they're demanding that. If not, then you need to dump them. The other secondary thing, and this is one that I hate, is I want it cheap. And that's usually another big problem with commercial, the I want it cheap syndrome. And the third thing, and another one that I really, really hate, is I'll pay you in 99 days or however many days. Over 30 days is unacceptable to me. Okay? So all of these three things are the things that you want to work toward avoiding and trying to go after commercial work that doesn't do all of these three things. Now, keep in mind, some of the time, some of these are inevitable, so I'm not saying that we avoid them all the time, but we do work to try to avoid all of these things when we're working for commercial, especially the I want it cheap, and especially the I'll pay you in 99 days. Now, if somebody I can, if it's the tax collector, but the tax collector never pays us in 99 days, but if somebody that we really, really trust, and we don't mind it if we know that they're getting business to us, but usually, if it's somebody that you really, really trust, they're going to be getting it to you within 30 days almost all the time. So, okay, here's a phrase that I have coined that I think is critical to remember about all of the marketing that you're doing, commercial included, maybe commercial especially. Life is too short to clean for crazy people, okay? Life is too short to clean for cheap people. Life is too short to clean for the wrong people. Okay, David Hebert saying that the cheap guys want to pay in 99 days. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. So life is too short to clean for these people, right? So it's about targeting the right people. Whenever I used to clean on the truck, how many of you guys are actually the ones out there on the truck all the time? Maybe even if you have an assistant, maybe, or if you're the only guy that's going out cleaning, how many of you that are here on the webinar? Is this solo, either solo by yourself, or you're actually with an assistant, but you're still on every job? Katie and Juan and Chris and Dale and Blake and Greg and Mike and Steve and Pete and John and Aaron, a lot of you, probably about half of you, at least, that are on the webinar right now. We got quite a few here. So here's, whenever I was on the truck, the first 3 years I was solely on the truck. Okay. After maybe the fourth year, I had other guys that I'd go out on the second truck and they would go out. And then I sort of, as years went by after that, I weeded myself out of being on the truck full time to where I was on the truck a day or two a week or as needed, to when I started Hitman Advertising completely and not really associated with the business at all. But when I was on the truck especially, I really, I would say this phrase literally to my technicians, that life is too short to clean for crazy people. You know, if they're being crazy, I was very quick to either leave the home or not clean for them or fire them as a client. Because of the fact that, especially if I was the one, especially you guys that are out there doing all of the work, if you're the one doing it, then you need to really, really be into this phrase and really, really be into this attitude. Not necessarily, I'm not saying you have to adopt the phrase, but being into this attitude. Lion is mentioning that he's having problems hearing me. I don't have anybody else saying that they're having problems. So it might be, if I'm cutting in and out, Lion, you might want to maybe log off and log back on. I'm not real sure. But sometimes it can be your internet connection could be getting a hiccup. So really keep this in mind even when designing your marketing. You want to make sure that you're going after the right people. If you're not, move on. Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit first about answering some of these questions that we've got here on the blog. And as we're answering them, I've got some examples to show you and some things to show you in the PowerPoint. So here's some of the questions that we actually got on my blog. And We had a pretty good fair amount. So Joe actually put the first question. Well, the first question was, when is the webinar? And then I posted the link. But Joe was mentioning that he wanted to start marketing to churches, and he just bought a list of 200 of them. So how do I market to these? And I'm going to answer this question not only just pertaining to specifically churches, but pertaining to businesses in general. If you have a certain list, you know, first, where do you go to get that list? Well, the biggest thing that I'm going to recommend that you do, and Joe sounds like he's already got this taken care of, but the biggest thing that I'm going to recommend that you do is you either, probably the best thing to do is look it up online. You know, go to yellowpages.com or just Google the business, the type that you're actually trying to go after, and then you physically call them yourself and you develop this list yourself, because there it's a whole lot better than buying a list, because then you know really where these people are. Really, you're nurturing them better. You can buy the list too, though. If you do decide to buy them, you can go to infousa.com and you can buy mailing lists there as well. So keep that in mind. You know, you can go either way. My feeling and the way we've always done it is we've just manually looked them up ourselves, because of the fact that, well, actually in the early days, we probably did buy some on InfoUSA as far as for business. But for businesses, for smaller lists like that, you're going to pay a premium for them. How much? It really depends. I think you're, you know, for, I can't remember. It's been a little while since I bought a list off of InfoUSA, so I can't remember for sure. A small list, anyway. It seems like for, you know, 500 names or something, you might end up paying $100, you know, something like that. But you can do the work yourself, get a secretary to do it yourself, but it might be better for you to buy the list. Whichever one that you do, you know, is fine. So then what do you do after you have the list? Well, the best way to market to these people is going to be first and predominantly contacting them with direct mail. Okay, and my kind of rule or my philosophy of marketing, especially for commercial, is to avoid cold calling. In other words, just calling them out of the clear blue when they've never even heard of you. Instead, do warm calling. So what is warm calling? Well, if you've sent them a series of sales letters and or sales letters with postcards, there's a good chance, and not always, I'm under no delusion of grandeur that this works like hotcakes for every single commercial manager, but you definitely have, if you've impressed them some with the mailers that you've sent out, you've got a whole lot better chance at them remembering who you are and being warm if you've preluded yourself with some killer marketing, you know, quite honestly. So you want to design your marketing and your sales letters, this whole direct mail system, so that they seek you out, okay? Instead of you going and cold calling to them and you bugging them. One of the questions that we're going to go over in just a little bit on the blog is, I always feel like I'm bugging people. That was one of the things that you guys mentioned. If I stop by to see a commercial prospect, I always feel like I'm bugging people. Is that true or is it just in my head? It's true. If you stop by unannounced, you are bugging them. You are a pest, okay? So instead, market yourself and design your marketing so that they seek you out. How can you do that? Through a good direct mail campaign. Okay, so, and here's basically the process. You make a list of all the places that you want to target, either by buying the list on infousa.com, or you get online and you go to yellowpages.com, you just go search Google, and you actually look at the people that you actually want to target. Now, especially if you're, and here's what I recommend that you do too. I recommend that you decide, and we're going to talk about the types of businesses to target in just a few minutes, but let's say you want to go after doctor's offices. I recommend that you set a goal that you get X amount of doctor's offices within the next 3 months, within the next 4 months. Okay. And then you take that list and you either buy the list on InfoUSA or you go online and you start looking up doctor's offices and you make a list of, if you want to actually get to 10 of them, a clean for 10 of them, you probably want to market hard to at least 100 of them, if not even maybe maybe a little bit more, but I'd say at least 100 of them. So you make that list by going through, that way you're getting personal with knowing who these people are. And then what you want to do is you call them and you ask whoever answers the phone, who is in charge of hiring a carpet cleaning company or a janitorial company, whatever type of service, cleaning service that you do. And you want to give them a reason why. Here's the other big thing too, guys, is you want to say, who's in charge of hiring a janitorial company janitorial service, because what I'd like to do is send them a package about our company. And a lot of the times when you give them a reason why, something psychological happens there and they go, oh, well, there's a reason why they're wanting to do this, so I should help them out. Studies have shown that people are twice as likely to help you when you give them even a simple, silly reason like, because I want to send them a package, right? Even though that's kind of like, who cares, who wants to get a package? But the main thing is that you're getting the person's name, and then you've already got their business, and a lot of times you already have their address. If you're wondering what the address is, or even at that time, what you want to do is go, well, let me confirm the address. Is the best address to send it to here? And you state the address that you've probably already looked up and is already in your Excel spreadsheet. Now, the thing with this, too, is sometimes the person in charge of hiring a carpet cleaning company isn't who you think it is. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you might assume that it's the doctor. A lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's the doctor's office manager. Sometimes if it's a big enough office, there's a special person that's just in charge of maintenance, okay? So you need to find out who that person is, and that gatekeeper can help you, especially if you give them a reason why you're doing it. That's really important, so keep that in mind. So then you're collecting that. Now you got that Excel list. You're not asking to talk to them. Now here's what will happen too. Sometimes they'll go, well, it's Mr. John Lee. Would you like to talk to him right now? And then you go, you can if you want to, if you feel like you're really good on the phone and you want to speak to him. But most of the time, what we've done and what I've instructed my staff to do is just say, no, that's okay. I don't want to bother him. I just wanted to send him this package that I have for him. Okay, great. And then a lot of the times, the gatekeeper on the phone, you tell them, you identify yourself about who you are. I maybe forgot to say that. You call them and you say, this is John with Premium Carpet Care. I'd like to know who the person is in charge of hiring a carpet cleaning service, because what I'd like to do is send them a special package. There, now you've sort of barely got your name in front of the gatekeeper, and that might really be the gatekeeper or might not be, depending on the office. And then you're not bothering them, and then you're quickly letting them off the phone. That's the thing too, because a lot of times when they know they got a salesperson online, they just want to hurry up and get off the phone. So you're letting them quickly get off the phone, you're not giving them a problem, and your first introduction to the gatekeeper is a, oh good, that's all they wanted, it's done, wonderful. Okay, then the next introduction is you're sending them a compelling introductory letter with a killer offer in the mail. Keep in mind that when they seek you out, it's on your terms. If you're going to them just coming and stopping by to give them a demo and they've never heard of you, then it's on their terms and you're there bugging them. It is the case to where you're bugging them. But if you send them a letter, you're allowing them to seek you out. Or if you're seeking them out, it's via mail, which is nowhere near as intrusive as you stopping by the office. Whenever you have them seek you out, you'll actually be able to get higher prices, maybe the highest prices in town. You'll actually get to have better scheduled work because you're actually seeking out the work that you want. And you can more so be seen as an expert, especially when you use educational marketing that we're going to be talking about in just a minute. So, all right, so let's get back to the blog and see what other questions that we had over here. Oh, Pat has mentioned that he's having problems with actually implementing some of the stuff going on. And basically, it is, you know, a common problem. You know, that's the kind of thing. The main thing is keep in mind that actually implementing any of this stuff is the key. You can have all the knowledge in the world about how to do the best advertising, but if you don't actually go start to run an ad and practice running an ad and practice honing your skills at doing that, then you're not really going to make any money with that information. So implementing is the key, and I told Pat that I'd get in contact with him. So Mitch is mentioning that he would love to know how to market better to churches. We already did just talk about that for commercial glue down. Any insight? So we just talked about that, and we went over, you know, the basic system of looking up online churches or going to infousa.com, looking for a mailing list of churches and mailing them something in the mail. Let's go ahead and go back to that, though, because I was going to show you the basic marketing, at least one marketing plan. This is a campaign that has worked really well for us, and a lot of people that have done this before in the past that have been part of the commercial marketing course in the past. This is what I call the golden ticket letter. okay? And it's a sales letter. Inside is an actual golden ticket that we get printed out on color paper, or we just print it out on gold paper, depending on how we're actually doing it. But it's a golden ticket. We even send it in a gold metallic envelope. Okay, and they open it up, and there's this golden ticket. One, the metallic envelope just kind of draws attention, because how often do you get a shiny gold envelope in the mail? You know, it's crazy. So then you get this offer with a golden ticket. Even further to the whole drama of the thing, there's an actual golden ticket inside of the envelope once they open up the letter. And so it's like, wow, so this is what this is for. And it's a golden ticket to always have clean carpet and floors. And there's no obligation. It's basically for a special offer of $50 off. And we give them some of the huge benefits of our service. And we give them testimonials. And we reiterate what the offer is about and how there's no strings attached. And then we even follow that up with a postcard that's all about. This is one side of the postcard, and the other side kind of restates the offer. We follow this up with a 4x6 postcard that says, "Don't forget to redeem your golden ticket." You know, and it's got on the other side, I don't have the other side, but it's got my picture on the other side, and it's got basically the same restating of the offer, and it just follows it up and makes it work really, really well. Then even after that, we send them even another postcard another week later that says, "We're shocked we haven't heard from you. You know, we felt for sure we'd hear from you by now, but you're going to love how beautiful your office carpet, floors, and upholstery are." And then on the other side, we restate the offer and let them know that they've got one more chance to respond. That is a good marketing campaign, guys. When you have something like that with just a really compelling offer, something that's completely off the wall. How many times have you gotten a gold metallic gold envelope in the mail with a golden ticket offer in it? Probably never, right? You know, it draws attention and it gets to people, and it makes people remember you, so that you don't even hear from them after the 3 weeks and you send them this card, you may not have heard from them by now. But at least then you can stop by and or call, and there's a decent chance that they'll remember who you are. They might not still, okay, but there's a decent chance that at that point they'll remember who you are when they've gotten three different mailers from you and that were a pretty intriguing type of, creative type of an offer. So some other creative mailers that we've done are, we'd actually have a letter with $1 million bill on it that actually either follows up the visit after you actually see them, or it's actually just even a fresh cold mailer sent to people that we've never, you know, done business with before that we're seeking out. Back to school mailers with pencils inside the mailer and inside the sales, you know, on the sales letter pictures of them. A mailer with a stress ball that's actually got one of those squeezy balls, and it's stuffed inside of a box. A letter inside of a garbage can. A letter sent in a prescription bottle. We've done that, and that's worked really, really well for doctor's offices and dentists. In fact, that's one of my favorites. And also letters based around the holidays. I mean, anytime you can use the holidays as an excuse, it's great. Also letters sent FedEx or Priority Mail. If you get I got something from a solicitor just the other day in Taylor at my office, who a lot of you have talked to, got it, and it was sent, might have been UPS, I don't remember. But the fact that it was like this special thing. And he had it set aside, and he was going to give it to me as a special, you know, because it was a package, because he knows that he's not supposed to open packages. It goes directly to me. Anything else he filters through and opens and, you know, whatever. But since it was a package, it goes directly to the decision maker. Okay, so keep that in mind. And it's not always, and anytime you do that, you want to make sure it is a really good proven offer. And it can, you know, it can help response rate, you know, quite a bit. So, all right, so I showed you those. And then we're going to talk a little bit about one of the next questions. We're going to go over just the basic marketing plan about all of this. Mark is asking, how do you get to these respectable 8 to 5 commercial accounts? In other words, the accounts that you've cherry picked, how do you get to these? And what special needs do they look for? Okay. And what do they look for? They're looking for somebody dependable. They're looking for somebody who has insurance. If you're going to be doing a lot of commercial work, guys, you need to have at least $1 million of liability insurance, maybe more, depending on the place that you're working for. And you need to boast that to everybody that you talk to about commercial. Now, keep in mind, not everybody with commercial cares, but more of them, I think, care than don't care. So make sure that you boast that. Also boast background checks on your employees if you do them. Also boast drug testing if you do it. This is all stuff that leads to your credibility. The thing that I even mentioned, especially when we're talking to commercial people and what gets us even a lot of our jobs, is we come in and we go, yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, we'll give you an estimate. Now, we aren't going to be the cheapest in town. Now, keep in mind, there are 60 in our city, I think at this point, maybe even 70 carpet cleaning companies. Out of that 60 or 70 companies, maybe 10% of them actually have workman's compensation. You know, that means the other 90% do not. So the fact that we do leads to our credibility, and it leads to the fact that you're protected. You know, as well, our education. We've actually sent our employees to special schools to actually learn how to clean carpet. We actually have done background checks on all our employees. We don't hire anybody with a bad background. We want to make sure that you're safe, that your business is safe. So you're talking about them and you're talking their language. That's the kind of stuff that they're looking for. And two, they're looking for you to be on time. Okay, you want to even give them some type of a guarantee that if you're not on time, they'll get 50% off of that actual cleaning. Okay, or to come up with something if they're at all skeptical about whether or not you're going to show up on time. But you need to be punctual if you're going to be doing a lot of commercial. So he's also mentioning that he's in a small town, and are there enough opportunities for full-time, daytime commercial business? That's really an open question, because I don't know how big of a town that you're in. I would say if it's a small town, my gut feeling would be no, because I don't know how many, especially just commercial, if you're only wanting to do commercial, I don't know how many businesses you would have in a town of 5,000 or 3,000. That's what I would consider a small town, you know. You might. I don't know. It depends on the type of town that you're actually in. It depends on how much work that you're doing. But I would say you could go after, and one of the questions we're going to answer in just a little bit too is, I'm just starting out or I'm starting over. Should I target mostly residential or commercial or both? My answer to that, if you're just starting or if you're, and it depends on what your business model too is and what you want to do. Probably both, especially in a small town. You might not have enough for only commercial, especially if you're only wanting to do commercial 8 to 5, you know, during the day. So, but it depends on how small is small. Are you talking 50,000 people, or are you only talking 3 or 5,000, you know? Is the profit margin comparable to residential? Usually, yes. It can also be more so than residential. Okay. I know a lot of the times when we do it, it's about the same. Sometimes it's a little bit more profitable. What is your marketing plan, and how expensive is it? We're going to show you a quick marketing plan in just a second. How expensive is it? Depends on how much you want to spend. If you want to, you can do some of this stuff and only spend $50 a month. Okay. You're not going to get as much business as if you spent $500 a month. But if you were starting from level one or from not that busy and really needing some commercial, you'd probably want to spend at least $500 a month. Obviously, the more that you spend, the better results you're going to get. But the neat thing about some of this, the way we do commercial and the way I've taught some of you guys in the past is really some of it is not just spent cold calling, because it does involve work. So I don't want to water this down and say that it's just you wave a magic wand and, you know, next thing you know, you've got all this commercial work. You do have to do some legwork. You do have to get online and do some work looking up stuff, or buy a mailing list at InfoUSA, which is obviously a lot more expensive. But keep in mind, you know, it really depends on what you put into it. And it also, too, it means that you can spend whatever you want. You can spend as much or as little as you want. If you want, you can spend $5,000 a month. If you want, you can spend $50 a month. You know, how much should you spend? Maybe on average, like I said, maybe $500 to $1,000. Then again, if you're not doing any other marketing, you're just getting started, you might want to go for the $1,000 level, you know, as far as that goes. But you can maybe even get away with a little bit less than that. So what is the monthly cost for my commercial marketing plan? We'll talk about that in a little bit. And there's actually, I've got two routes. One route is not monthly cost at all. And the other route is if you're in my ad club. that you'll be able to get in at no charge at all. So, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So how long has it been tested? We've been doing this type of marketing I've been doing for about 10 years. And a lot of these things are things that I've done, you know, over the 10 years. The commercial marketing plan that we've got now, we've been doing for about 5 years. Yeah. Now, what's your percentage of response? Again, that's a loaded question. I will say that most people, and again, your response may be different. You might get nothing. Okay, so I'm not promising anything. I'm saying that most guys that actually go and do the work and do this for the money that they spend on any of the mailers, you know, easily, you know, get 4 times, 5 times plus whatever they invested in any of the mailers. Okay. Now keep in mind, that's no promise. You might get no business as a result if you're not doing it right, or if you're not, you know, if you're not following the plan fully. But more often than not, I mean, it's usually a pretty good way of getting business. So what is the convergence rate usually? I don't know. That's really up in the air, because it depends on which mailer that you're doing. It's not unusual with the type of sales letters and the 3-step response to get, you know, 2% response, even 5% sometimes, you know, even a little bit better. But again, you could get no response. I don't know, right? So it depends on how you do it. But yeah, that's kind of gives you a little bit of an average. Floyd is mentioning, John, I ride by office buildings every day. How do I approach them to do business with me when I'm just starting out with little money? But at times I do team up with a friend to complete jobs. Also, when doing commercial, which system should I use? We're going to be doing a webinar very soon on some of the technical how-to. We're not really covering any of that tonight. Tonight's just some of the Q&A. But since it is Q&A, I will answer your question briefly on both. On one, we've already answered your question. I'm going to show you this marketing plan in just a moment that just runs down basically what you need to do for even little money. For a startup, this kind of stuff is great, guys, because some of it you're actually doing some of the, you know, the online work yourself. You know, if you're doing some of the labeling of the postcards or some of the sending of the letters and running the sales letter envelopes through the printer, that type of thing. So I'll show you the marketing plan in just a moment, but to answer your question about which system should you use, there's several. Obviously, hot water extraction is one that almost everybody has, but a lot of the times for commercial, what a lot of guys use is encapsulation. And for that, I would probably, we'll talk more about that in just a little bit, but just get online and Google encapsulation carpet cleaning. Might be a good way to go about getting in touch with finding out some information on that. We are going to be even interviewing some experts here in the coming weeks on that exact subject there. But it involves usually either a rotary machine, or it involves what they call a Simex, which is a type of rotary machine, but different than the regular floor machine that you might be used to. But that's really good. But yeah, we'll go ahead and show you. Excellent Supply is one source. Tell them that I sent you. If you go there, Rick Gelanis, real good guy. In fact, I've interviewed him multiple times on the subject of carpet cleaning and even marketing. So, and we might even interview him. I haven't talked to him yet, but we might even interview him if he's available. Okay, let's go and look at that marketing plan. Here's basically, and again, your marketing plan could differ a little bit, but in a nutshell, here is largely the plan that we use in my own company and most of the stuff that we teach through the Ad Club and in Hitman Advertising. Direct mail with sales letters. We've already talked about that. But basically sending out letters to hand-picked places that you really want to do business with. Again, I'm not talking about just looking at whoever wants to come your way. You're hand-picking them. Client mailers. What do I mean by that? I mean actually the mailers that you send your clients. Send those mailers to your residential clients, postcards, newsletters. Send those to your commercial clients as well. Put them on your mailing list. Stay in front of them. Even your prospects, okay? If you go and you handpick a mailing list of 200 dentists, by all means, don't only send your current clients your client newsletter, your postcard, but send it to the dentists, okay? A continued mailing to the commercial, like I just talked about, once you get this list developed, don't send them just the three-step sequence and stop. Send them the same sequence again, or send them a different sequence a month or two later. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but you want to keep mailing them. Not only send them your newsletters, but you also want to send them other, you want to try to resell them again 2 or 3 months later. Maybe when you mail them the first time, they weren't at all ready for carpet cleaning. Or maybe 3 months later, they've got a new manager that is more in tune to wanting carpet cleaning, right? You never know. So if it's somebody that you really want to get in touch with, continue to market to them, continue to mail to them. Also, internet marketing. Believe it or not, we pick up several commercial accounts. In fact, the Cheddar's job that we just reached, the account that we, not that recently, several months ago, that we somewhat recently got in touch with, got us on Google. And we went out, looked at it, sold them on our reputation, and they hired us to clean the Cheddar's in our city and the Cheddar's in the city next to us. It's an hour drive, but they pay us even more. They pay us for the drive. So it's a win-win. But internet marketing can be great. Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and even doing SEO to be able to get them to go to your website. And another thing that I see neglected all the time that needs to be part of your marketing plan is when you go out to talk to these people, don't walk in with an empty hand. Okay, or just an invoice or an estimate form or your business card. Whenever you walk in with professionally done brochures, it helps set you apart. Okay, and here's a brochure that we have as part of the ad club, but it's a trifolded. This is only one side of it, but it's folded here. It's a trifolded, beautiful, glossy brochure. When you walk in, you give them, if you're talking to them about carpet, you give them a brochure on how to care for your carpet and rugs. If you're going to be talking to them about tile cleaning, or dyeing grout, you know, some of these jobs, guys, can be $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. Okay? No joke. We've done them. Okay? When you do those and you just walk in empty-handed and you're talking to them about how great of a tile cleaner you are, well, you know, that's wonderful, but when you talk to them about how great of a tile cleaner you are, and by the way, you're educating them with this beautiful, professional, trifolded, glossy brochure, it sets you apart. Again, maybe that and that alone isn't going to make or break whether or not you get the job, but a bit of credibility you have to add to your arsenal is going to help. And I'm surprised at how few times cleaners really don't have this type of thing at their disposal. So, you know, it's something that's really, really important. You want to walk in with professional literature too, brochures, booklets, that type of thing. So here's an example of some of the client mailers that we mail that, again, we also mail to our commercial prospects and our commercial accounts. We want to also educate them about reasons why they clean their carpet. Also, the real reason why their tile and grout and floors get so dirty. We want to stay in front of them about this type of stuff. So, all right, well, let's get back to the blog and get some of these other questions that we've got right here. Jerry's mentioning, okay, just any advice, and we've already been giving you some advice, so that's good. Shelly's mentioning, I just do not do well getting out and marketing to commercial clients. Always see that no soliciting sign and think, oops, I'm soliciting. On the other hand, I drove into a place today and signed them up in about 5 minutes. Then I say, why did it take me 10 years to do this? Exactly. Well, the time was just right. But the thing is that you want to put this type of thing into a regular system. Not just a once in a blue moon, and not just a you got to get out there every Thursday and try to sell to people you've never even talked to. If you like to do that kind of thing, great. I didn't always like to do that kind of thing, okay? So it's always better, even if you do like to do that kind of thing, to prelude yourself with the sales letters and that marketing message. It always works a lot better. Mark is mentioning, how do I get them interested in calling me for cleaning? Again, we've already covered that, the marketing plan that we've just done. Steve is mentioning, I'm tired of doing apartments because they never pay on time. Are there any good apartments out there? That's a good question. Seems like I've already cleaned for them all. How do I find the good ones? It's about choosing the people that you want to do business with. It's about don't just sit there and wait for them to call. You go after and handpick the right clients. That way, when an apartment complex comes around, we've done apartment complexes. Out of all of the commercial that we've done, apartment complexes are my least favorite. Currently, we don't do any work for any of them. I'm not we're not beneath it. We will do it. Apartment complexes are hard. I don't know how it is in your city, but in my city, apartment complexes treat carpet cleaners like second-rate citizens. I mean, honestly, it gets ridiculous. I remember one time I had my assistant technician was there with me giving an estimate because we were just stopping by, and the apartment manager was making fun of me behind my back to my assistant and making faces. You know, and I didn't know about this till afterwards. We're coming over here to clean some stuff for her, and here we are busting our butt to get there, and then she's going to go and do this, right? Obviously, I never made an iota attempt to ever go back to clean for them, right? Are there any good apartment complexes? There are. I do know of guys who do make very good money cleaning for apartments. My company isn't one of them just because, I don't know if it's just because of my city or what, but there are good ones out there. But how do you find them? You go out, you pick them. Don't just let them pick you. Matt is saying, what is the best way to approach a commercial manager? It seems they never want to talk to me. Again, it's the picking them, getting that mailing list, calling them, the system that we just outlined, and then actually letting them call you. And then if you do need to call them, it's after you've been mailing them for a while, and at least they're somewhat familiar with what you're doing. Now, the other thing, too, is like we mentioned with the $1 million campaign, I won't go back to it, but it's up there with that one, or with the golden ticket campaign. Basically, you send them a compelling offer like that, then you send them the follow-up postcards, and then you wait a month. And then if you want to, during that month, go visit them or call them. If you don't, wait a month, maybe 2 months, and then mail them a different series of letter with a different offer. With, again, something compelling. Maybe this time it is the one with the $1 million bill, or the one with the stress ball, or one with the prescription bottle, but something different and compelling. And then you send them that sequence with the postcard. And then if you still don't hear from them, then you call them and you say, hey, look, we've been, you know, I've been trying to give you all these great offers. I'm really trying to get in touch with you guys. What do I need to do? But at that point, especially if you've mailed them two sequences within a few months, the real good chance that they're going to remember you. Corey's mentioning, I wanted to add more commercial cleaning so that I have more steady monthly income. My problem is my lack of confidence of what to say. I could get a better idea of what to say and how to get through the gatekeeper. If I could, okay, good. I would feel much more confident. Again, getting through the gatekeeper initially, calling them and just saying, hi, I'm John with Premium Carpet Care. I'd like to find out who's in charge of hiring your carpet cleaning service or your floor cleaning, whatever type of service that you do. And what I want to do is send them a special package. The other thing, too, is if all you do is carpet cleaning, they'll easily tell you if they don't have any carpet. Well, we don't even have any carpet. And if you don't do tile or hard floor, then you go, okay, well, good. Well, now we can get out of that. Or, you know, you might want to mention, well, do you do area rugs or whatever type of service that you do? At least then you're, that's why, too, it's sometimes better to do that than get on InfoUSA, because InfoUSA is not going to tell you whether they have carpet or whether they have tile or area rugs or hardwood or what they have, right? Which, by the way, too, I do hope to cover some stuff on hardwood floor here in the commercial course that we're going to be doing soon. But that's basically how you get through the gatekeeper, and you mail them that stuff, and you mail them that sequence, okay? Then when you feel comfortable with going to see them, be it after the first sequence of mailers or after the second sequence of mailers, one of the two, go visit them and or go call them. By that point, you're a little bit more likely to be a warm prospect. They're likely to be a warm prospect instead of cold. Tony's mentioning, I'd like to know what to walk in with if I'm knocking on doors. A pitch book. A pitch book is a great idea. Again, I recommend that you don't go walk in the door until you've already mailed them. You want to be warm. But I do recommend that you have a pitch book. That's something that we'll be talking about at some point. PowerPoint presentation on iPad or something like that is a great idea too. Before and after photos in that pitch book, in that PowerPoint presentation. Exactly. Testimonials are another good thing to put in there. Some of your credentials, IICRC certifications, prominent people in the area that you've cleaned for, other businesses that you've cleaned for are always really, really good. Your insurance certificate, right? Your workman's comp certificate, any of that type of stuff. They assume you have a business license. That's hardly anything that's hard to come by in most cities. I mean, some cities, I guess it might be. But yeah, all of that type of stuff is a really, really good idea. But brochures, too. Educational stuff. Maybe some of your past newsletters. Brochures. If you are cold calling, candy or food. Really, really important. That's something, too, if you're wondering how to get, if you're wanting to do some just cold calling, the other means is, and that's something that we'll talk about at a different time, even when you first go, bring candy, a bag of treats for the gatekeeper. You want to come in, and the whole premise is you want to make friends with these people, right? Jack is mentioning, would like to go to do doctor's offices, dentist's offices. How do I get the foot in the door? The same thing we've already talked about. Choose them. Make that list. Nurture that list. Call them up and ask them who's in charge. Mail that person. Woo them, okay? And it's not usually the doctor or the dentist, although it is sometimes. It depends. So I'm just starting in this business. Should I concentrate, from Mike, on commercial first or residential or both? Okay. If you're just starting, my recommendation would be both. See which one you like the best. That's kind of what I did. Now, a little story about what I did. At first, I remember having it on my major goal list to have, four apartment complexes or whatever, three apartment complexes. That was like a big thing. And, you know, I want to clean for five restaurants. Well, I started, building up my residential too, and I started cleaning for some of these restaurants and nursing homes. Oh my gosh, nursing homes were terrible. and we start cleaning for these places, and I started to realize, oh my gosh, a Chinese restaurant, that was like one of the biggest nightmare cleanings that I'd ever done. And I started to realize this is not the kind of stuff I really, really want to do. I'm not winning anything by getting these accounts. But at least then you learn, what you really want to do. But two, you also should learn by some of the experiences that I'm telling you about right here, maybe in Chinese restaurants. I like eating at Chinese restaurants. I like Chinese people. Don't necessarily like cleaning at Chinese restaurants, though. It's usually really, really dirty carpet. They normally don't clean it very often, and they normally don't want to pay you, which are two things that I don't like and don't want to pay you well, which are two things that I don't like about cleaning for anybody, really. So that's what I would do. I would concentrate on both, see which one that you like better, but follow some of these principles. Dale's mentioning, I'm willing to pound the pavement, so to speak, but I'm not sure what to say when I walk in or what to leave behind. We've already talked about that. So we've already mentioned that. How do you get commercial accounts to refer you? Well, that's a good one. How do you get them to refer you? You have a referral program in place. Now, Howard Partridge, my good friend, has got a great referral program where he offers a 10% referral reward for anybody that refers his business. Basically, if you refer him a $200 job, you get a 20% referral certificate. You can take that certificate, use it for cash. You can actually redeem it and get a check for $20, or you can use it for $20 of future cleaning. So it's pretty neat. So implement that referral program, mention it to your clients, put it in your client newsletters, and mail those newsletters regularly every other month to all of your clients, to all of your prospects. And commercial accounts to refer you to is not only other commercial accounts, but to their employees. Okay. If you actually send that commercial account, if you're doing, business with an attorney's office, okay, and I speak from experience on this, and you're happy with that attorney's office, okay, and you're sending the point person a regular newsletter, and it's got your referral program in it, and he's happy with you, you are going to get referrals. Okay, I promise. So that's another big way to do it. But not only that, too, just go in and maybe ask if you can leave some of the newsletters in the break room. Maybe ask if you can leave a brochure about your referral program in the break room. You have to develop the relationship with them, but that's how you do it. You just let them know about your referral program, and it needs to be a systemized referral program. What is a productive way to approach restaurants? Obviously, night or morning work, yeah, that's the bad thing. What kind of commercial accounts are day work? I'm going to show you those in just a moment. Restaurants, the same exact way that we've already talked about. And let's go ahead and talk about which commercial accounts are day work at this point. Okay, so it's about educating them. What are your top picks? Okay, and these are the ones that I consider most of them even day work. Not always, but a lot of them can be day work. And these are my favorites. Okay, law firms, love them. They have to have clean carpet for their clients, and they usually have the money to spend. The downer is, a lot of times, maybe not a lot of times, but sometimes they'll need to cancel on you at the last minute. They'll also sometimes need emergency cleanings. But since they're paying premium prices and they're usually getting fairly regular cleanings, I don't mind it as much. Doctor's office, same type of thing for the most part. Schools, depends on the school, and a lot of times it's even for us more private schools than public schools. We've done a little bit of government work, but not a ton. But private schools for us seem to be a lot better, and that just might be just the niche that we've sort of fallen in a little bit. Churches can be great. How have we gotten in touch with most churches? Usually we've cleaned for a staff member, either the pastor, the secretary, or a deacon, or somebody that's a prominent person in the church, and they refer to us and say, hey, you got to use these guys. These are the best, right? And then how do they usually know that we're more of a professional company and about a referral program? Anybody? Anybody? Our newsletter. Exactly. All right. Large industry facilities. Again, we clean for a large industrial facility every week. They never have paid us in more than a week. And they're just great. They're flexible. If sometimes they need us to reschedule them a little bit later, just good people to work with. Government contracts. Sometimes it's contracted work, or sometimes it's even just, business at some of the government offices. But again, some of this is about like how we got in touch with, we clean for all the driver's license and all the tax collector's offices every few months in our area. And how do we get in touch with them? I think we were referred by one of our regular clients to the main tax collector in our city. And ever since then, years ago, she has used us for cleaning at all of the tax collector's offices. Now, again, how did we probably get that? Well, probably from our newsletter. Probably from our newsletter postcard, quite honestly. So, and that was going out to our clients. So what are some of the secondary picks? Maybe not your top picks. And again, in some cases, you might not even want to, I'm not saying you don't want to touch some of these, but I'm just saying that unless you have a good reason, you probably want to go after some of these first. I don't know. It depends on your area and what you've got going on or where you have connections. But restaurants can be good. They can also be terrible. Okay, I'll be very upfront with you about that. Apartments can be good. And I'm only going on other people's experience more than my own. Most of the experiences I have personally had with apartment complexes have not been good. Doesn't mean that they're not good, but again, it could just be my city. I don't know. But I do know of guys that make good money with apartments. Hotels, same thing for me. I've not really had much success with hotels. We've done some cleaning at hotels. None of them have ever wanted to pay our price for any extended period of time. Same thing with apartments, really. And the apartments and hotels are notorious for last-minute calls. They're notorious for, paying you 3 months later, So that's something to think about. Stores in the mall, usually they want really, really cheap, and they want it at night, and they want it in the next day or two, right? Convenience stores, same kind of thing. They normally don't have that much money. If you notice, too, a lot of these places don't normally have the big budgets as some of the other lists as well. Sometimes hotels do, but they usually have in-staff cleaners, carpet cleaners, tile cleaners, floor cleaners, that type of thing. But not always. It depends on the hotel. Retail stores, again, a lot of times they're running on very tight profit margins. And the other problem with some of these, too, restaurants, even apartments, really, and hotels and retail stores and even convenience stores, sometimes it's more of the corporate office, and you need to talk to the corporate people, which is sometimes harder to get to. You're going to have better luck when you've got the decision maker there to be able to talk. All right, let's go back to the blog. I think we got a few more questions to answer there. Then I've got some other questions. What are the best ways to approach property managers? Same ways as all the other ones we talked about. Do you think a targeted mail campaign would work? Yes. Or the old-fashioned drop-in and visit. Targeted mail campaign and then a drop-in and visit is the most likely approach. That's what I would do. If you drop in, is a good idea to have a leave behind? Yes, like a small gift. Treats, goodies are a great idea. Brochures, your newsletters, your postcards. I always feel like I am disrupting them when I visit unannounced. That's because you are. Okay, exactly. That's why you want to go in as more of a welcomed guest and a warm prospect by preluding yourself with a good quality mail campaign, a good interesting campaign, and coming in with treats and goodies and bringing them educational brochures, because you don't want them to just look at you as Bubba the carpet cleaner. You want to be looked at differently. You want to be preceded. You want your company to almost be mentioned and talked about in that office before you ever get there. But maybe this is just my own opinion. No, it's the case. You're right on. That's keeping me from acquiring. No, but I think I gave you some good ideas for that, Brian. Steven's mentioning just need a basic idea of what to do to get more commercial. We've already talked about that. Tim, what's the best way to land commercial jobs? We've talked about that, went over that marketing plan. Everybody that's on this webinar will get access to this recording. So you can go back and listen and watch some of that stuff again. How do I get them into a contract? Okay, that's the other question. Should you do a contract? Some people, some prominent, guys, Steve Toburin, he recommends, I think he's the one that recommends a contract. I can't remember or not. Contracts can be good. I've rarely done contracts. Why? For instance, the Cheddars that we're doing, if they're ever ticked with what we're doing, I don't want to clean for them anymore. Right? I don't want to obligate them to having to clean for me. Now, if there's a certain amount of cheaper cleaning that you're giving them, but here's what we normally do instead of a contract, though, okay? In fact, when Cheddars contacted us, I forget even how many square feet of carpet they've got, but we said, first time we come out, it's going to be $475, okay? Anytime you get cleaning within 2 weeks, 15 days, we'll give you a $100 discount. Okay, and that's for the one that's right down the street for us in our city. Okay, and I forget how many square feet of carpet it is, but it's not all that terribly much. The other one that's not in our city, we're charging $100 more because it's an hour drive. That's probably not enough. It's only $50 per way there and back. But since they're doing both restaurants, and again, it's less than 1,000 square feet of carpet, I think, or I can't even remember. But it turns out to be pretty for. The square footage, it turns out to be pretty good work. But basically, and the fact too that it's every other week, you got to consider all those. But don't just take it. So we're not really getting. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. We're not really getting into the justification of prices here. But in a nutshell, you want to make sure that you're pricing it properly. So. But contracts, you give them a discount that way. So you give them a discount based on, you clean for the first time, it's this much. Anytime you get cleaning within this amount of time, you get this discount. So if they ever wait, they're going to pay the $450 price, right? So that's usually the way I like to do it. That way that they know that, well, you waited, and now they're paying a higher price. And they're more likely to stay cleaning regularly, and it's better for you too as well. So how do I find out who is in charge? We've talked about that. So usually a specific person handles it? Yes, usually. Sometimes it can be more than one person, but it's normally one person. How do I find out what their cleaning budget is? I don't know that I would bother with that as much. I don't care what their cleaning budget is. I just care of whether or not they want to pay my price. And I think most of you that do a lot of commercial probably agree with that. It doesn't matter what their budget is to me. Peter's saying, how can I get to the top of a large corporate establishment? That's a harder one. I tried my local lens crafter store and I was kind of blown off to look up the corporate office online and contact them. Well, maybe that's what you should do. Okay. And the thing that you should tell the corporate office is that you're local. You need to send them a good letter, not just a business boring letter, but a good attractive letter, like some of the ones that we've talked about. And I'm going to give you guys some options on how you can even get a hold of these letters too in the ad club and as part of the commercial course, the commercial package that we've got. But how can you get in there, send them something intriguing. Okay, but the other thing too is with that case, you want to more so sell them that you're local, you're right down the street, you can help them, and you're there for them, and you've got all these guarantees, and et cetera, et cetera. John, what are your choice commercial accounts? We already did that. You do a lot of condos, and how do you get into condos? Have we had success with condos and hotels? Not hotels as much. We've done some condos and done pretty well with some of them. Currently, we're not really doing a whole lot of regular condo cleaning for one reason or another. I'm not even sure why. I guess we just kind of lost it. I don't know. Maybe they got somebody to do it cheaper. I'm not real sure. And the other thing too, guys, here's the other thing too. When somebody comes along and they're cheaper, I don't care. I don't cry about it. And I don't go, oh my gosh, now my competitor's got the work. I should beat this price so that my competitor gets all the work, because we can only clean so much in our city. We don't want to clean all the stuff in our city, and we sure don't want to clean for under what we're able to make a good profit at. That is one of the keys about pricing and one of the keys about even marketing. It's about cherry picking the people that you want to clean for. that's kind of the theme I hope that everybody's gotten that we're talking about here. It's not just going after doing commercial and trying to get as much commercial business as you can at the cheapest price, because that's the way you'd have to do it. At the cheapest price that you can get it, it's about cherry picking the accounts that you're doing. Exactly. But how would you go after the commercial of condos and hotels? Same way that we've already been talking about. Joe is mentioning, I also want to go after churches. We've talked about that a little bit. Okay, and he's got the 200 list. I think he already asked that question. Curtis, how did you target commercial accounts? What specifically did you look for before walking in, and what did you leave behind? We've talked about that. I've run across commercial accounts that only do hot water extraction on the 15th floor. When they want it done with a truck mount. For me, I can't get excited about that. Well, I can't either. And they want to do it for 10 cents a square foot. Good. They can have it. And your competitor can do it and lose money and have a good time while you're out working for 35 cents a square foot, cleaning at a doctor's office or cleaning at a dentist's office or cleaning at a restaurant that'll actually pay you a decent amount of money to clean, right? Cherry picking, guys. Life is too short to clean for crazy people. Crazy people want you to charge them 10 cents a square foot. Then you just tell them that's not what we clean for. We clean for three times that. Sorry, have a good day. Lion is asking, walked into most of the dentist offices in the area, cleaned a couple, and couldn't land an account at the rest. The last one I went to wanted the floor stripped and waxed. They wouldn't use me since I didn't wax floors. That can happen. What you want to do is hook up with somebody, either learn how to do it or hook up with somebody who does do it. Might even be better. Dave is great topic to cover. What's the best approach to getting commercial clients on a maintenance program? We've kind of talked about that. The best way to do it is to tell them what the price is the first time. If they get it cleaned within X amount of time, they get the X amount of discount. And it's attractive enough to where it makes them want to get it done regularly. And what we even do, we've got a write-up on that. I'm not sure that I've actually got it in the ad club or the commercial account yet or the commercial package yet, but we're going to add that. Where it's actually, it describes that maintenance program to where they get this discount if they get it done within a certain amount of time. Daryl's mentioning, I have a couple commercial accounts left from when I got started. I can't remember how I even came about getting the accounts. They were just a headache, so I want to know how to acquire new ones. We've talked about that. What do I say when I get to talk to the manager? I always have a hard time getting to them. How do you get to talk to them? Again, you call first and ask who that person is, and you send them the mail campaign. When I market for commercial accounts, I use a flyer for the services I offer, an email address, and phone number for contact. The flyer I use, I drop off at, I drop off at the front desk. I have found that it's the gatekeeper's job to route the information, well, yes, to the appropriate person. But don't keep in mind that the gatekeeper might not always be excited about it. If he knows for sure that it's junk, he might not ever give it to the decision maker. So you have to make a friend with the gatekeeper. Don't just assume that it's the gatekeeper's job, so they have to do it. The gatekeeper also can be somebody that puts in a good word for you and says, hey, that guy was so energetic and that guy had such a great attitude and that guy gave me donuts when he came in, or that guy gave me famous Amos cookies. You know, we would take those and put those in gift bags and walk in. You want to be friends with the gatekeeper. But again, even before you go see the gatekeeper and stop by with the flyer, I'd recommend that you mail them first. Okay. It's just less intrusive for them. Okay. Right. I recommend that you even do the same type of thing when you're marketing to carpet retailers and realtors for referrals. It's almost the same type of marketing, guys, you know, and the way, you know, instead of visiting, stopping by unannounced, it's always better if you've already been mailing them that newsletter they're just systematically on your newsletter when you send that out every couple of months. They're systematically on a program where you're mailing them sales letters, that type of thing. The appropriate person, because in most cases it is not the office manager. Right, you have to call and ask who the appropriate person is. That way, too, you're not just bugging whoever is at the front desk, because it might not be the person you need to bug. You just need to call and say, hey, who's the person in charge of hiring a carpet cleaning company? I'd like to send them a special package if I could. Wonderful. They'll easily give you that name 99% of the time. Is this a good approach to establish a first contact? So when I would, instead of making a cold call, I'd again do the mailing. But the other stuff that you mentioned was good. Trisha's saying, right now we are a husband and wife team only. I take care of the office and my husband does the work. We have a few people we call on when there is too much work for just him to handle, and they also work weekends for a couple of cleaning accounts we have. My question is, since neither my husband or myself are very good at sales, is it good to approach to hire a salesperson, and how would I pay that person? I'd say possibly. I would pay them on commission, maybe a small salary or small hourly plus commission, especially somebody that's older or somebody with a lot of good sales experience. You could also be getting into a nightmare, especially if you're paying them hourly, but I would either have it mostly commission, if not all the way commission, is what I would do. Maybe minimum wage plus commission, and even then monitor what they're doing. I've heard a lot of horror stories when somebody's just, you know, blindly hired a salesperson, even said that they were great or might have even had been a good salesperson, and even at minimum wage, that can end up costing you way too much money. I'd still go with the concept, though, of mailing first. Your sales, when you mail first and proceed yourself with something of good advertising, good marketing, your sales work is going to be so much better when you actually do go and call upon them. Greg is mentioning, as with many, I haven't had the intestinal fortitude to go door to door knowing 99% will say no. I want to be a carpet cleaning business owner and tech, not a door to door salesman. Yeah, exactly. And so, exactly. We've already talked about that. Excellent. Marty, what type of commercial business do we want to get? We already went over that. When we are talking to prospects, should we be asking to determine if they are the type of customers we are looking for? Yeah, you should be asking them key questions. And that's something, things like, you know, how often do you get carpet cleaning done? In some cases, I know somebody mentioned, should we get, I forgot who mentioned that, should we find out what their budget is? Well, maybe. Mostly ask some questions about how often they get it cleaned. What their budget is, you know, sometimes people are kind of even offended by that. It depends, you know, maybe not so much in a business standpoint. But basically I'd find out more about their level of wanting to clean. So how often are they needing to get cleaning done? How often have they historically had it done? How many different carpet cleaning companies or janitorial companies have they been through? That type of thing. Ismail is asking, hello, we want to get more commercial accounts, but do not know how to begin. We're looking to expand. Would love any advice, who to talk to. We've already gone over all that. Greg is, if you read through the comments, it seems the biggest problem people have is actually doing what John says. Exactly. So why not put together a complete done-for-you program? Well, that's what we've done. Thank you, Greg. So that preludes right into what we're talking about. I think if you did this, it would actually make you more money because you could get paid each time a job is done. Yeah, exactly. So let's go ahead. I did have a couple other questions, and then I want to show you guys some other things here that were emailed to me. And a lot of the other ones that were emailed to me and even messaged to me on Facebook were duplicate questions, but these are good, different questions. Mike's asking, what are some value factors that you are offering in a contract to help get the account? And I think actually we've already talked about that. So we've talked about the contract and whether or not you should get the contract. But one other thing we haven't touched on much is what value factors. Okay, one of them is the obvious. If you get cleaning done every 2 weeks versus every 2 months, you save, you know, X amount of money. And obviously, it's going to be a decent savings. What other value factors can you give them, and do we sometimes give them? We sometimes clean their walk-off mats in restaurants. That can be huge for helping them clean their keep their restaurant clean. Sometimes if they've got a little bit of tile, even though we're cleaning carpet, we might throw in a little bit of tile cleaning for them for free every 2 or 3 or 6 months, or depends on the restaurant, depends on what we've got going on. So throwing in other extra things like that, we might give them a bottle of spot remover for the employees to use if there's an emergency in between. You know, it depends on the account, but a lot of times we throw in that type of thing. Sometimes too, we might even give them a free emergency service or even free gift certificates for cleaning for their employees to give away as gifts $50 gift cards. We've done that before, and that's worked really, really good to be able to get referrals. That's another way that we didn't even talk about before, to just spur on getting referrals, giving them gift cards. That way, the employees there, if it's a big, nice business full of people that actually make money, aka an attorney's office, you know, it's a good way to get referrals. How do I capture the name and mailing address for, this is from Frank, for all of the offices nearby in a specific complex or a specific industry? We've talked about that some, but InfoUSA might be the best source if you're actually looking for a specific area, though, for sure on that one. Can I distinguish the list between renters and owners? InfoUSA, you might be able to do that. In fact, that might be one of the only ways you can do that, short of creating the list yourself and then looking it up on a local county tax collectors, which could be a lot of paperwork. InfoUSA might, I don't know for sure, might have a way to do that on a mailing list. Again, you're going to pay a premium for the mailing list, so, but it'll be a lot of legwork saved. What kind of letter or postcard should I send and how often? I've showed you a couple examples, but just something intriguing, and told you about a couple of examples. How often? Again, I'd send it in a sequence. Send a sales letter the first time. A week later, send a postcard. A week after that, so on the third week, send another postcard. If you don't hear from them, potentially call them another week later, or a month, 2 months later, send them another sequence of a different offer, of a different sales letter, and stay in front of them that way. And then after that second sequence, because you do the same thing, you'd send them a sales letter, a week later, a postcard, a week later, another postcard. If you still haven't heard from them, you've mailed them six times, you still haven't heard from them within a few months, let's go ahead and get on the phone and call them or stop by at that point. And again, at that point, you're not just a cold prospect. They probably remember who you are. Cleaning Monsters asked, how would you sell your cleaning services? How would you sell your services to a business that already, when they already have a cleaner? Well, you once you're talking to them, you go ahead and inform them that if they're ever, just, you know, leave it open. Don't be intrusive, but say, you know, if you're ever unhappy with what they're doing, we'll be there. And the other questions that you want to ask is, what are you unhappy with? Is there anything that you're unhappy about that they're doing or they're not doing? Sometimes they'll tell you, and then you can sell them based on that. Oh, you're not happy because they're not on time. Oh, you're not happy because their employees look like they just got out of jail. Oh, you're not happy because, you know, whatever the case may be. But find out. That's what I would ask them is, what are you happy? What are you unhappy with about what they're either doing or what they're not doing? I'm just curious. We always like to know that. And you don't approach it from the standpoint of, so I can, you know, tell you that we do different. You know, I'm always curious just about people that do hire carpet cleaning companies. What are you happy with and what are you not happy with? You know, so that's a really good question. That's what I would tell them. And then just tell them, well, if you're ever ready for another cleaner, we'd love to have a chance. You know, and you don't sound desperate. And again, when you're doing this type of marketing, you're not just out desperately pounding on doors. You're doing a little bit of this in a robotic marketing type of fashion. And then you're sitting back and you're waiting for calls. And then when you are going out to make a call, at least half of the people have sort of kind of remembered who you are. And it's a lot better than nobody remembering who you are, right? Believe me, a lot, lot better. Again, speaking from experience. So a little bit too about making your sales effort more effective. You want to do this and avoid cold calling. And you want to use direct mail as your prelude, to have the direct mail go in before you, have this campaign go in before you. And then you want to go in and you want to wow them when you actually go into their office to talk to them. You want to walk in with the brochures. You want to walk in with past editions of your client postcard or your client newsletter. You want to walk in and show them that you're not just Joe Blow, because that's what they're worried about. They've dealt with carpet cleaners before. They've seen the NBC Dateline and ABC 2020s where they're worried about bait and switch, scum of the earth carpet cleaners, all right? So you want to go in and with this professional literature, with a smile on your face, a nice uniform shirt, you want to go in and wow them and show them what a professional that you are. Brochures, again, help. Might even help to go in with a goodie of some sort, okay? Not anything expensive. You know, I'm talking about a little gift bag with a couple of Famous Amos cookies, maybe some of your company literature in the bag, maybe a couple of pens if you've got them, logoed, a coffee mug, magnets, I don't know, whatever you've got. You don't even have to have anything in there like that, but you can. Just go in to be professional, and then you give that to them, and then tell them about all of the things that you do that's different than the other cleaning companies, and also find out what their needs are. That's a big thing too, is let them do a lot of talking. Find out have you had carpet cleaning in the past? Have you had janitorial services in the past? Have you had tile cleaning, floor cleaning? What were you happy with? What were you not happy with? What could they have done better? Why are they still not here? You know, sometimes it's they're out of business. Well, maybe they're out of business because they were charging too little, and that's why they're out of business. And that's something to keep in mind too. So you want to find out what the whole deal is and get inside and what they've got going on. So the big thing is that you want to wow them. You want to be a professional. You want to not be your average Joe, everyday cleaner. You want to change your image. If you need to change it, and hopefully maybe a lot of you already have the proper image, but keep in mind, sometimes you do need to be working on your image to be able to get that better. So, thank you for listening. This was John Braun with ICS Magazine presents the Hitman Advertising Show. To get more great ideas on how you can get more commercial clients and more clients in your cleaning business, visit Hitman Advertising's blog at hitmanadvertising.com/blog.